Okay, we're going to go ahead and continue to our last session of the day. You've made it. And this one includes ethics. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce our last speakers for today. Starting here to my left is Wilson Jones. Wilson is chair of Bracewell's Healthcare Practice Group and the former chair of the health law section of the State Bar of Texas. He has provided counsel on the full range of legal issues faced by clients in the healthcare, pharma, and life sciences industries, including representing and advising clients in compliance and regulatory matters, health industry transactions, and investigations and enforcement actions. Next, we have James Gillingham. His title is Civil Chief, U.S. Attorney's Office for the Eastern District of Texas. Prior to being promoted to his current role, Mr. Gillingham served as the Eastern District of Texas's Affirmative Civil Enforcement Coordinator and the Civil Healthcare Fraud Coordinator. And his practice focuses on healthcare fraud and civil enforcement of the Controlled Substances Act. Everyone's favorite law. And lastly, we have Scott McBride, who is a partner with Morgan Lewis and, is it Bacchus?
Morgan Lewis and Bacchus.
Thank you. And Scott provides legal services to clients throughout the healthcare industry with a focus on compliance and enforcement issues. He represents and advises hospitals, academic medical centers, physician groups, and other healthcare clients in False Claims Act litigation, internal and external investigations, overpayment disputes, and regulatory compliance and enforcement proceedings. Thank you.
Thank you. We're so glad to be here. And once again, we have more slides than we have time, so we'll be going through these very quickly. You know, the enforcement environment is still very active, and the tools at the DOJ's in their tool belt are many. And so we are dealing with a lot of different areas of focus, and we're going to go through quite a few of them. The False Claims Act is still being used, as you might imagine, quite extensively due to treble damages and due to the whistleblower provisions. There's an extensive amount of settlements that have occurred, $2.68 billion total FCA recoveries, and of that, $1.8 million was in the healthcare industry. And in addition, there are a number of cases, record-breaking number of cases filed, and the DOJ initiated a large number of matters last year. And the settlements for the whistleblowers were very large. And in fact, you know, the $349 million in relator share payments, I think the interesting thing about that is that $82 million were in cases where the government declined to intervene. And I think that that's a trend. I mean, we're seeing more and more that you've got plaintiff's lawyers out there. I call them plaintiff's lawyers. Maybe they used to be plaintiff's lawyers, but there are firms out there that are willing to take on these cases and manage the expenses when the government doesn't intervene.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the numbers are still about 80% declinations, 20% interventions or otherwise for QTAM cases. But I think, you know, maybe 10 years ago, if the government declined, it meant the case would likely go away. Now we feel a lot of pressure even from relators counsel to get out of the way because they're just willing to litigate. And so it's definitely a different environment.
Do you see that the plaintiff's firms, though, are combining firms? Because we usually see multiple firms on the pleadings, especially once the government declines intervention.
So what I'll see, like, you kind of start to see the players in the space. Like, if you know Andrew Fee's firm, Joel Andrew Fee's old firm, we knew that they would go and bring cases, but they'd also litigate. Whereas I deal with an attorney a lot in Dallas named Sam Boyd, who's relators counsel, and he's more of kind of a – it seems like he's the personality. He goes and brings in cases, but he'll never handle them on his own. He brings in designated litigators or Sussman or something along those lines to handle the litigation. So it's kind of a two-step process with a lot of these.
Yeah, that's what we were seeing.
So the three trends that the government has identified in speeches and presentations recently are cybersecurity and the cyber fraud initiative, a focus on private equity and private equity firms entering the healthcare arena, and then pandemic loan fraud, which, as you might imagine, is still very active many years later. So I want to talk about first about the cybersecurity fraud initiative and going to go through that. And I'm sorry about the font on these slides. I apologize. It looks like they were corrected down. But at any rate, The thing, James, why don't you talk a little bit about the Civil Cyber Fraud Initiative?